I appreciate the good singing this morning. Turn me up, Brother James. I don't think I'll be very loud this morning. Appreciate you being in church. If you would this morning, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to a couple of places. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. And then I want you to look at James chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, and then James chapter number 4. This morning's probably going to be different. Well, I know it will be, from probably any Sunday morning message you've ever heard me preach. I've battled with this all week long. I said a while ago under that tree at the revival meeting on Monday night, God did something in my heart. To be quite honest with you, what that something was conviction. And I don't know if you understand what conviction is, but conviction is where you get to the place where you're sorry and you feel guilty about something in your life. I hope you know what I'm talking about. And the Lord began to deal with my heart, and He's dealt with my heart all week, and Tuesday night on the way home from the meeting, the Lord began to deal with my heart about a sermon or a message. And I passed it off a little bit, and then Wednesday night after I got home, the Lord dealt with me even harder about the thought and about the subject matter. And I thought, well, Lord, I'll preach that on Sunday night. And the Lord assured my heart that if I did, I would do it alone. The Lord wanted me to bring this message this morning. I know that we're live on the radio, and I don't care. I've got to mind God this morning or die. If you were here on Wednesday night, I appreciate you being here. If you were not, please get a CD of the message on Wednesday night. I get a little accustomed to traveling around the country as much as I go, and everywhere I go, I'm the flaming evangelist. Somebody said on Monday night before we left, Brother Eddie, why don't you preach like that at home all the time? Because here I'm not just an evangelist. Sometimes I have to be your pastor. Wednesday night in the sermon on protecting our spirit, I was not preaching, I was pastoring. Whether you realize it or not, sometimes we need more than a preacher, we need a pastor. We need more than a sermon that'll make us feel better and make us shout and say amen. Sometimes we need a sermon or a message or pastoring that will reveal something to us about ourselves. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know how it is with you, but with me, it's easier to see what's going on in the lives of others than it is with me. I have the tendency to look away from my own faults and my own failures and magnify those around me and say, well, at least I'm not doing this, or at least I'm not doing that. On Wednesday night, we brought the message about our spirit, and we read from Proverbs where the Bible said that a man who does not control his own spirit is like a city that's walls are broken down. And we talked about those walls are for protection. And we went to Job when the devil came before God and the sons of men. And the Lord said, if you tried my servant Job, you remember what the devil said? He said, you've got a hedge or a wall about him. I can't get to him. And I feel like the devil has gotten to some of us because the wall has been broken down. We have allowed a spirit to come into our lives or our heart that has given the devil a place to work. I told you this won't be the normal Sunday morning. It'll probably be the most serious message as a member of this church you'll hear me preach all year. Before we read any scripture this morning, I want to tell you a story. When I was a kid growing up in church, a lot of things were different than they are today. Things were handled a lot differently than they are today. There were certain situations where the church would deal with you. And they called that church discipline. I remember one instance when I was growing up, there was two couples in the church, two married couples. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And some of you will even know who I'm talking about. And I'm not talking down on these people. I love them. They're my friends. But these one husband got involved with the other husband's wife and began to have an adulterous affair. The church found out about it and approached the husband who was having an affair with the other husband's wife and told them they must get it right. They gave them an opportunity to do that, and they did not. They continued to see each other, and long story short, both homes were torn apart. And on a Wednesday night in our church did something that you don't hear about. It was pretty common in the old days. But our church did something on a Wednesday night, and I'll never forget it. They had a conference meeting. They called a business meeting in the church. And they took a vote to withdraw fellowship from those two individuals who had the sin in their life and would not get it right. They voted 100%. They called it withdrawing fellowship. In essence, they kicked them out. I wonder how many of us don't raise your hand, but you know in your heart you're guilty of something that the Lord ought to have done kicked you to the curb. Say amen right there. Amen. That's me. God's had more grace with me than you can imagine. And I'm sure He's had more grace with you than I can imagine. And I'm glad that God is more graceful than man, and He's more long-suffering than any man or any church ever thought about being. Thank God for His long-suffering. Amen. But I thought about that this week, and the Lord, I hadn't thought about it in years, and the Lord brought that to my attention. And He laid this on my heart on Tuesday night, and it got heavier and heavier as the week wore on. And He said, there's somebody you need to vote out of church. There's somebody you need to vote out of that church. They're causing problems. They're hurting families by the actions that they have taken. And I said, Lord, I've never voted anybody out of church. I've never even put strict discipline on a church member. He said, you're going to have to this one, or it's going to destroy what I've built. Not me, Him. The Lord planted this church in the little holler on Happy Valley Church Road in Dallas, Georgia, and was birthed in a Brush Arbor meeting. And God has had His hand on this work for some 28, 30 some odd years. I don't know exactly, but for years God has had His hand in the middle of what this thing is doing. I mean, boy, it's had its heyday, and then it's had its low day, and then it's had more heydays, and then more low days. I'm afraid right now, even though the buses rolled this morning, even though people will be saved, we could be in one of those low days right now. And the Lord said, if you want to continue to have those heydays, those great days, when the Spirit of God is hot on this place, you're going to have to deal with this individual. So this morning, if you would indulge me for a few minutes, and as the members of the Happy Valley Baptist Church, if you will help me and stand together with me this morning, we're going to turn somebody out of church this morning. Some of you look nervous. Some of you look nervous. It's not you. It's the devil. I think as a church, we ought to take a vote this morning and vote that sucker out the door for the problems he's causing, for the trouble that he's stirring. I think we ought to run him out of here on a rail. You say, preacher, I can't believe you got the devil in your church. There ain't a church in this town ain't full of the devil. Amen. If there's any place on this planet that the devil's going to hang out, it's going to be the church house that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to fight it tooth and nail. But bless God, we are not to lay down and let him win. There have been days I've been beaten. There have been days that I have felt defeated. But I've not yet raised the white flag of surrender. Amen. Bless God, at 44 years old this morning, I've still got some spunk, I've still got some grit, and I've still got some fight left in me. Paul said, contend, earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. So I still feel like fighting him a little bit this morning. How about you? Amen. That may be kind of catchy this morning. Let's vote the devil out of the church. But it may be more complicated than what lies on the surface. He's been found guilty of sowing discord among the brethren. You say, preacher, what is that causing people to be at odds with one another? The Bible said how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. Do you know what unity means? Unity means that there is nothing between us. Amen. I would love to stand here and tell you that this church is in perfect unity, but I'd be a liar. There's somebody in here got something against somebody else. There's somebody in here got an ought in their heart against another. There's somebody in here who's sideways with somebody who used to be a friend. Don't tell me it's not so. I know that it is. You say, what is that? That's the devil. God does not sow seeds of discord, but nothing would please the devil more than to have you and I mad at one another and sideways with one another and talking about one another behind our back. He's been found guilty of sowing seeds of discord. He's been found guilty of sowing seeds in this church of bitterness. Do you know what a bitter heart will do for you? It will kill you. Bitterness will kill you. I don't care whether you're bitter with your neighbor or bitter with God, it will destroy your life. And that's nothing but the devil himself saying, see, if they really loved you, they wouldn't talk about you behind your back. See, if God really cared about you, he wouldn't have allowed this to happen, and so on and so on and so on and so on. He's guilty. Amen. Amen. Some of you know very well what I'm talking about. He's guilty of sowing seeds of discord. He's guilty of sowing seeds of bitterness. And he's guilty of sowing seeds of secret sins in our lives. Amen. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said your iniquities, that sin, have separated between you and your God. You say, preacher, I don't understand. I'm not as close to God as I used to be. Maybe we need to examine ourselves and quit examining everybody else and say, God, why is it that my heart doesn't burn like it used to burn? And why is it, God, that the excitement that I used to have and the joy that I got from being in the house of God, God, why is it not like it used to be? It's not Him. It's not Him. He's guilty of that. Yes. Do you know what I said? He's guilty of that. How many of you have been tempted to sin this week? Yes, sir. You can be honest. I guarantee you I have. I guarantee you I have. But boy, there's been something different about this week. There's been something different about this week. I was tempted to sin last week too, and the week before, and the week before, and the week before. But there was something different about this week. I got up under a tree. By the way, it was under a tree where I met Him. And it was under a tree Monday night where God dealt with my heart. And I said, no more, smutty face. You ain't running ramshot over me, bud. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You're going to have to get the road, Jack, and get off my back. Amen. Something's been different about this week. I've had victory this week that I haven't experienced in a long time. Just because this platform is higher than your seat doesn't make me higher than you. Do you understand that? I walk in a body of flesh just like you do. I'm tempted just like you are, and I'm tried just like you are, and I'm flesh just like your flesh, and human just like you're human. But this week, bless God, there was something burning down on the inside of my heart that was not human, but supernatural. He's guilty. He's guilty. He's guilty. I wonder how long it's been since you felt guilty.
Amen, brother.
I wonder how long it's been since you literally felt dirty before God.
Yeah.
Unclean. Unworthy to even bow your head and pray.
Yes, sir.
I want to vote Him out of here this morning. We used to vote in conference meetings. Somebody would stand and make a move or a motion. And they would say, I make a motion, we turn the devil out of church. The old timers called it churching them. He said, I make a motion, we withdraw fellowship from Satan this morning. Somebody else would say, I second the motion. And then the moderator would say, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Let's try that again.
Yeah,
somebody make me a motion. Come on.
Brother Andy, I make a move that we kick the devil out.
Amen.
I second that
motion. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there any that opposed?
Amen, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let it be written.
Amen.
Speak now, forever hold your peace.
Yeah.
Now that was fun, wasn't it? But you know all we just did?
Yep.
We went through a motion.
Yep. That's awesome.
We didn't no more kick the devil out of this church than a man in the moon. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because he don't go that easy. We're not picking with some little old wimp this morning. We're talking about the one who used to be the chiefest of angels. We're talking about one who has power more than you and I can imagine. There's only one power greater than Him, and that's God Himself this morning. When we get to the place where we think the devil rolls over that easy, we've lost our mind. I watch these televangelists on TV. I rebuke you, Lucifer, all you big shot. Who you think you are? That'd be like me stepping out in the middle of that train track out there and saying, in the name of the Lord. Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
Amen. I'd have a better chance at throwing up my hand at that locomotive barreling down the track than I would the devil coming at me this morning. Hey, what are you saying? I'm saying it's beyond you and I making a motion and a second and a vote. We're going to have the power of God to run that sucker out of here. It's bigger than you. But let's suffice it to say, we have voted Him out of our church this morning. You can go home today and somebody says, how was church? Oh, we voted the devil out today. Oh, he's been in peace and fellowship with us for a while. But we finally realized what he is up to and run that sucker out of here. Oh, we've been coddling him for a while. Oh, we've been shaking his hand during fellowship. We've been hugging on him for a while. We've been welcoming him in for a while. But this morning we realized.
Amen.
what he was doing behind the scenes. And we voted him out. I want you to take what I'm about to say as serious as anything as you've ever done in your life. My children depend on it. And your children depend on it. Come here, Micaiah. Up here. Micaiah's 9, right?
10.
10, excuse me, sir. Micaiah's 10 years old. Goes down to the nursing home every Thursday night. And helps as they go down there and minister to them dear people. 10 years old. I would say God has a plan for his life, wouldn't you? Amen. Would you agree?
Amen.
He says God wants him to be a preacher, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Man, you know they ain't nothing greater than that in the whole world. You want me to tell you the greatest danger in the world for him? Would you stand up, Brother Freddie? The greatest danger in the world for him is for him to allow the devil a place in their lives. He's grown and he's strong and his life is established, but not his. He's tender, he's young, and he's very impressionable. And do you know who has the greatest impression on him? He loves his preacher, don't get me wrong, but I don't have the influence that that man has. I'm telling you, our children's lives depend on this next 30 minutes together. I've never been more aware of this in my life than I have been this week. I'm not trying to preach a good sermon this morning. Not even making an attempt to. I'm trying to be your pastor. I'm trying to give to you what God first did in me. And if God hadn't done it in me this week, I wouldn't dare open my mouth and say what I'm about to say. We have went through the motions this morning and voted the devil out of our church. Hallelujah. Boy, that's good. I'm glad we're in agreement. He ought not to be in here. I'm glad you agree with me. I'm glad, Brother John, nobody stood and opposed outwardly. I said outwardly. But I can tell by the looks on some faces, you don't like this. You know where it's going and it's already bothering you. And inwardly, there's a little voice that said, I oppose, I oppose, I oppose. Do you know why? Because you know if we carry this through, you're going to have to deal with something. I know it's easier just to let it go and hope it takes care of itself, but it never does. If we're going to vote the devil out of our church, we're going to have to go a little farther than what we went today. I still hadn't read no scripture, have I? Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 27. Now watch this. Simple little verse of scripture. Verse 26, he said, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Now watch verse 27. Neither give what?
Place
to who?
Devil.
The devil. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many of us would willingly admit we've give him a place to work in our hearts, in our lives. Do you know all he needs is a gap? That hedge around Job did not have to be torn completely down. All he needed was an opening. All he needed was an opening. No telling how many thousands of square feet our buildings are. Brother Freddie may know. But our attic is full of squirrels. I wish God would kill them all. They're chewing our wires in two. It's costing us a fortune just to keep wires patched up. Have you ever seen where they got in? Brother Jay, they're coming in places that big. Squirrels that long with tails that long. And all they need is just a little crack. That big old fat squirrel can get as flat as a sheet of paper and slither in just a little bitty place. Hey, little places that I didn't even realize we had. And sometimes in our life we get those little bitty holes and those little bitty cracks that we don't even realize we have. And the devil slithers in just like a stinking snake and he begins to chew on the wires. Connecting our lives to God begins to cause shorts and problems. He said, neither give place to the devil. Now, I want to show you this morning in the book of Hebrews what you and I are going to have to do. Our book of James, I'm sorry. Here is what we have got to do. Moms, listen to me. Dads, listen to me carefully. Young people, listen to me carefully. Here is what we've got to do. Some of the simplest scripture in the world, but the most overlooked, I think, in the church today. James chapter 4, look with me at verse number 7. Now you got to get this verse in perspective. In verse number 7, he said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I like that word flee. That means he's got to run. Hightail it. We always hear resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Why would the devil always have us leave off that first part of that verse? Why would he always have us leave off that first part of that verse? Because that's the thing we have the greatest problem with in our flesh. Is submission. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Amen. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. There's a step process there. Amen. Do you understand that? Some of us have got to get to the place where we resubmit. Oh, we've submitted our lives to God in the past, but somewhere along the lines, the hedge has been broken down and the devil's crawled in and he's trying to cause havoc in our lives and some of us don't even know it. Amen. And we're going to have to submit ourselves to God and then resist the devil. Do you know you can't fight him on your own? It's impossible. He will win every single time. Matthew chapter number 15. I don't know what's going on with this sound system. It's what I'm preaching. I know exactly what's going on. Matthew chapter number 15 this morning. I'm going to give you three simple little thoughts. And I'll have you out of here. But I hope I have you out of here different than you were when you came in. If we're going to vote the devil out of our church, number one, first, we're going to have to vote him out of our own heart. And if you sit there and you're so self-righteous this morning that you would honestly say, I've never allowed the devil a place in my heart, I'm afraid you're lying. Because I figure you're no more human than I am. And if I've allowed myself to do it, and these others have allowed themselves to do it, then we've all allowed ourselves to do it. And if we're going to get rid of him this morning, we've got to start at the center of the problem, and that's our very own hearts. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 8. Jesus said, now who's he talking about? He's talking about the religious people. I would say that we're religious people this morning. Wouldn't you? We've got a religious form. We've sang religious songs. We've got a religious looking building. Some of us are dressed religiously. We're religious about what kind of Bible we carry, what kind of songs we sing. Come on, talk to me this morning. He's talking to this religious crowd. He said, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips." Now hang on. Here's what he said. Oh, they're singing about me. They're shouting. They've got their hands in the air and they're singing, "I know my name is there." Look at the last part of that verse. He said, "But their heart is far from me."
Amen.
He said, "They draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Have you forgotten what the Lord said?
Yes, sir.
He said, Brother Jay, that man looketh on the outward parts. You judge me by what you can see.
Amen. Son.
Amen.
You're right.
God judges me by what you cannot see.
Amen, brother. You're right.
Nobody in this room this morning can truly know what's in my heart.
That's right, sir. Amen.
I can fake it.
Yeah.
You can fake it. I can fool my own mother at times, but I can never fool God. He knows my heart. I can act as religiously as I want. I can dress as religiously as I want. I can fly in airplanes all across the United States of America and preach to thousands among thousands among thousands of people, sign Bibles, have my pictures made, and all this stuff that goes on in my life. I can do all those things till I'm blue in the face, but it never does not change the fact God knows my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
He knows the very thoughts,
yes, he does,
and the intents, yes, of my heart. Therefore, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart.
Amen.
In Acts chapter number 8, they looked at this crowd and said, "Thy heart is not right in the sight of God."
Yep.
Amen.
Most of us can't handle language like that anymore.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Most of us don't want a preacher who will look over the pulpit and say, "You're not right with God." Why are we fighting the battles we're fighting? Because we're not right with God. Brother Warren said to me this week, "If God's on our side, why come we're losing?"
Amen.
If God's really for us, who can be against us? If all that scripture is really true, why does it seem like we're losing ground in so many areas in our life? It's because our hearts are not right with God. What we need is personal revival. I'm not talking about camp meeting in November. I'm not talking about youth rally in August. I'm not talking about just a great service. But I'm talking about a personal revival in our heart between us and our God. I had one Monday night. God done a work in me like He hadn't done in a long time. I didn't even ask for it. He just hit me like a ton of bricks. Y'all okay? Joshua took over where Moses left off, led the children of Israel into the promised land. They marched around Jericho 7 times. On the 7th day, they marched 7 times and shouted with a great shout, and the priests blew on the trumpets of ram's horns, and the walls came tumbling down. Greatest city in the land, Jericho. Just a few days later, they set out on a conquest to go and take Ai, a much smaller city. As far as we know, it had no walls to protect it.
Right, yeah.
And they got their rear ends kicked.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Why? Something was wrong.
Yes, sir.
Something was wrong. They didn't do what God said do.
Amen, brother.
Later, they're facing defeat, and God says to Joshua, the leader, "There's sin in the camp."
Yes.
There's sin in the camp. No, this was before Ai. He said, "There's sin in the camp." They went into Jericho and God told them not to take nothing for themselves. But this man by the name of Achan took something and hid it under his tent.
Yep.
Do you know how I know when sin is sin in my life?
Yes, sir.
My first reaction is to hide it. If there was nothing wrong with that goodly Babylonian garment and that gold and silver that he took, why wasn't he strutting it?
Amen.
He knew it was wicked.
Yep.
He hid it under his tent. And God judged the whole nation because of it.
Amen, brother.
Just a side note, I think God's judging our nation because of sin.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You say you're nuts. I know it, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. Amen.
Amen.
The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Before I move on, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Is thy heart right with God? Wouldn't it be fair for me to ask you and you not be able to ask me? As far as I know, and God is my witness, there's nothing between me and Him this morning.
Amen.
My heart's right with God. Is your heart right with God? You need to have a personal conference this morning, maybe. Get on this altar and vote the devil back out of your heart.
Amen, brother.
But then we've got to go farther. Do you know the problem with most of our bus kids? We get them for a couple of hours, and I'm going to quit in just a minute. I told you it'd be totally different this morning. We get our bus children, Brother Jay, for a couple of hours on Sunday. I don't know how many hours in a week. Maybe somebody can blurt that out. I'm not sure. A bunch of them. But we've only got them 2 hours out of 7 days. Seven 24-hour days. We've got them for a couple. They come to church, Brother Robbie. They get excited. They sing the songs. And many of them trust Christ as their Savior. But when they get on those buses like they are right now, do you know where they're going?
Right back to the same.
They're going right back to where they came from.
Yes.
Yes,
sir.
They're going home. I don't know how many times I've come to church and got on the altar and got right with God. But then went home and found it that I wasn't able to do what I told God I wouldn't do anymore.
That's good, preacher.
You see, I made a change on the altar and I made a change in the heart, but I've got to go further than that. I'm going to have to make a change in the home.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Yes, sir.
Maybe there's some things I used to not allow that now gets by. I'm going to dismiss in a few minutes. I realize some of you have dismissed already. But we need some daddies at home.
Amen.
Now hold on to your arrogant britches. I don't mean some daddies that'll go in, slam the door and say, bless God, this is going and this is going and this is going. I mean some daddies that'll shed some tears and say, I'm sorry, children. I'm supposed to be your guardian. I'm supposed to be your protector. And I've allowed the devil not only in my heart, but I've allowed him to enter our home. And if you'll help Daddy pray, we're going to run him out of here. You'd be surprised how much more readily your family would get behind you if you'd have the right attitude. Instead of go home stomping your foot and snap your finger, how dare you? You're the one that let him in, sir. My wife's not going to answer from my home. I am. You ladies who are, we say something to get about the man being the head of the home and you ladies swell up. You ought not to swell up. You ought to thank God it ain't on your shoulders. I owe my children an apology. How about you? We need some daddies at home who say, you're right. Kids, I'm sorry, we shouldn't allow that on the television.
Amen.
We shouldn't allow that to come out of those speakers. But I hope somebody's listening to me this morning. I hope somebody gets this besides me. It won't do us a bit of good if it don't. Because alone, I'm just one.
Yes, sir.
We need some moms. We need some moms. Look at their husbands and look at their family and say, I'm sorry. I know I've given the devil place to work. But you pray for mama. Today I voted him out of my heart. And I'm going to do my best to see to it he doesn't get back in. We need some husbands that take their little wives by the hand and say, honey, I'm sorry. I've not led you the way I ought to lead you. I hadn't set the example that I ought to set. You pray for me that I'd be the husband that you need me to be.
Amen.
Let's vote the devil out of our heart, but then let's vote him out of our home.
Amen.
A couple of years ago, I guess it was, my nephew died. He was down in Louisiana working and they found him dead. Most of his family lived in, where'd Meemaw go? Is it Warner Robins? Is that right? Most of his family lived in Warner Robins. And they all came up for Robbie's funeral, and I have the biggest house, so that's where they stayed. The morning of Robbie's funeral, I got up and there was a fella, and I don't remember his name, and he actually was no relation to us. He just came with some of the family, and he was standing in my kitchen, and he just reached in his pocket and lit a cigarette. I said, hey, dude. Yeah. We don't smoke in this house. Yeah. And he put it out. He said, oh, I'm sorry. And he made his way to the porch. You know, I didn't hesitate.
You're right, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I didn't even think. I ran him out the door just that fast. Why don't we react with the devil like that? Hey, that's not allowed in our house. Hit the door. Did you know as a citizen you have the right to run anybody you want to off your property? Did you know that? Did you know that you can ask anybody you want to leave your property? I could make my mama leave my property. You remember that? She's shaking her head no. Seriously. God has given you the right. The day you trusted Christ as your Savior, He has given you the... You have no power over Satan, but He does. And now you're His child. He's given you the right in Jesus' name to tell Him to go. You're trespassing. Hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You're trespassing. You've got to go. When he comes in your heart, he's trespassing. When he comes in your home, he's trespassing. Parents, get it through your head. It ain't so much that he's after you. He's after those little ones. The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I've watched enough of the History Channel to see how lions do.
Yes, sir.
They single out them little ones.
Yeah. Yes,
they wait till they graze off just far enough from mom and daddy and they nail them. And that's what he's waiting with our children. We're going to have to vote him out of our heart. We're going to have to vote him out of our home.
Yes, sir.
I mean immediate action needs to be taken. And then we're going to have to vote him not only out of our heart and out of our home, we're going to have to vote him out of our habits.
Amen, brother.
I got news for you. Those die hard.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Those die hard. But if we'll vote him out of our heart and we'll vote him out of our home, those habits will come a little bit easier. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes my old creature likes to come around.
Yes.
Do you know they say it takes 21 days to develop a habit? My wife several months ago, and I'm done. Sister Janice, if you'd make your way to the piano. Our kitchen is shaped like this, and we have cabinets on this side and then cabinets on this side. And my wife rearranged our kitchen, and I hate it when they rearrange, don't y'all? And our refrigerator's right here, and our knife and fork and spoon drawer was right here, right beside the refrigerator. And I'm a tomato sandwich connoisseur. I love tomato sandwiches. During the summertime, I ate two or three a day. But 6 months ago, my wife moved our knives, forks, and spoons from this side of the kitchen to this side of the kitchen. 6 months. Y'all hear what I said? 6 months. Friday, I got a tomato and a loaf of bread and a jar of Blue Plate. I said, Blue Plate mayonnaise. A pepper shaker and a salt shaker, and I'm fixing to have myself some fun. I opened the refrigerator and got all that laid out, Brother Jay, and I opened that drawer. And I slammed it. Bang! 6 months.
Yep.
It still ain't registered. Yep. They're over there.
Yep. You're right, son. Amen, son.
They're over there.
Yep.
We've allowed sin to become more than sin in our lives. We've allowed it to become habit.
Yep.
I'm not after nobody this morning, please. Nobody smokes because they want to. Nobody. I smoked for years.
Yep.
Nobody smokes because they want to. It's a habit.
Yep.
Amen.
You're right.
No more than that 5-year-old picks his nose because he wants to. We do things so much.
Amen.
That it becomes a habit.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes.
I remember when I quit smoking, Brother Jay, I'd catch myself holding an ink pen.
Yep.
Like that. Wishing to God I could suck something out of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's just a habit. You know what I found out in my Christian life? If I'll be sincere,
yeah,
and I'll really allow God to help me, He can take those habits from us.
Amen.
But I found out what the key is. I've got to replace the old habit with a new habit.
Yeah.
What if every time you would have smoked, you said, okay, instead of smoking, I'm going to pray?
Amen.
How many of you ever smoked while you was praying? Dear Heavenly Father, it's hard smoke while you're praying. I'm not after smokers this morning, honest. I'm not. I'm just using that as an example. God can help us to break those chains. Those habitual sins. That we don't get up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to sin in this area today. It's just automatic. We've done it so much. Our bodies have become so accustomed to it.
Yes, sir.
And the devil's laughing all the way to the bank. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of him running over me. Literally fed up with him having his way in areas where he ain't even got no business.
Amen.
He has no business in here this morning. No business in this church. And if he has no business in this church, he has no business in my heart. And if he has no business in my heart, he has no business in my home. If he has no business in my home, he has no business in my habits.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? Something's got to give. Something's got to change. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Maybe it was a very poor job, but I've tried to be your pastor for a few minutes this morning.
God spoke to your heart. Sister Janice is going to sing us a verse. Why don't we gather together in this altar and let's carry this a step further than saying we voted the devil out of our church. But I wonder if we could leave here honestly today and say I voted the devil out of my heart. And I'm going to do my best to run him out of my home with God's help. Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. Nobody looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed. Listen carefully today. I wonder if there may be one here today that say, preacher, I'm not sure in my heart. If I died today, heaven would be my home. I'd like to have that settled in my heart. If you can really know for sure, I'd like to know that when I die, that heaven's where I'm headed. But I'm not sure. Pastor, would you please pray for me that I'd get that settled in my heart? I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. But I would so much like to pray for you this morning. You just slip up your hand, put it right back down. Preacher, I'm not sure. If I died today, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. Please remember me when you pray. I see your hand, buddy. Is there anybody else? Preacher, just pray for me. I know there's something I need to get settled in my heart. Just please remember me. Anybody else? God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to pray in just a minute. But before we do, I wonder if there are others that say, preacher, there's some voting that needs to go on in my life. I know the devil's got a foothold, and I need to get him out of my heart. Please pray that God would give me the power to do that. Would you just slip up your hand? Hands all over this building. Thank you so much. We're going to pray together. Fathers, we come before you this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, for meeting with us today. Lord, you know those are not the kind of sermons I like to preach. Lord, I want to encourage our people. But Lord, I'm afraid it's the devil that's got them encouraged. And Lord, they're not going to find encouragement that'll last, Lord, till we get him out of our midst. Lord, I pray, Father, we have no power over him, but you do. And Lord, I pray you'd bind him this morning. God, cast him from our midst, out of our hearts and our homes, our habits. God, please, we need your help. Lord, we're just feeble humans. But Lord, you're God. You possess all power and all strength. Father, help us this morning. You saw every hand that was raised. Father, you know every heart. I pray, Lord, you deal with us accordingly. Help us this morning. And Father, we'll give you glory for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.